Law and Disorder, the podcast that gets real with addiction, recovery, and everything in between. Hear the 360 degrees with your hosts, Tim,
Disorder,
and Joe,
Law,
with guest speakers specializing in every field related to why you just tuned in. Welcome to Law and Disorder. And remember, recovery is possible. Tim and Joe, it's all yours.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Joe.
I'm Tim.
And today we have a guest with us, and we are also streaming live. So if you listen to this on podcast, it'll be a recorded version of it. But nevertheless, here we are. Tim, why don't you go ahead and fill us in on our guest?
Well, David is someone I met probably over 6 months ago now. Met him in drug court. We become friends. He's a good guy, and he has a story to tell that I think is going to be eye-opening for a lot of our audience out there. And again, getting back to the Facebook Live element of this, if you do have any questions for him as we're going along, shoot them our way. But yeah, welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, welcome, David.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
This topic is probably going to shock a lot of people. I think it's something that a lot of people are not aware of. But yet, it is almost becoming pretty common. I mean, starting to anyway.
It shocked me. And before we zero in on it, can you give us a little bit of a background with your history with drug addiction?
Yeah. My addiction started probably when I was like 23. It's about 15 years I've been in active opioid addiction. It started out with pain medicine, you know, from a doctor, and then from that to the streets, and then like 5 years later, I ended up finding heroin, and then the past 10 years have been pretty solid heroin use.
You inject?
Yes, IV. Yep.
Where do you usually buy it from?
Detroit, usually.
Detroit?
Dallas City, yeah, because I was born and raised down there, so I moved up here as a teenager.
So you're familiar with the area down there, you know what's what?
That's the back of my hand.
Yeah. Yep. East side?
East side, west side, southwest,
didn't matter.
All over the city.
Yeah, not that it's
relevant.
Overly relevant, but you know, as a recovering addict myself, I'm just curious sometimes. The answer is never like Milford, you know.
Right. No,
it's always Detroit, Flint, or Pontiac.
Right.
Although every town has its issues.
Every town has its addicts and issues, but most towns have problems with drug users more than
supply.
Yeah, more of a demand. Yeah, exactly. So you 15 years, you said you started around 23. You're 38 now. You said mostly opiates.
Yeah,
it
mostly
devolved into heroin use, IV use.
Yes.
Any other drugs? Did you?
I did some cocaine and some, you know, crack and stuff like that. Experiments with pretty much everything, but opiates seemed to be my thing, is what I stuck to. But
it's so familiar to my own story, because I got a script from a doctor in my early 20s, and then I spent the better part of 15 years as an opioid addict. I never did inject, but regardless, I did heroin for a long time, like you did. Mm-hmm. So there's so many parallels there, and here we are now, both in drug court, two of six people in the county's drug court.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So there's so much commonality here, and even in the part we're about to get into a little bit more, we share this experience too. But I'll go ahead and let you just kind of drop that on the audience. What is it specifically that kind of led to the twists and turns here?
Okay, so I got in some legal troubles, you know, back in 2018, and I knew there was going to be some ramifications to that, so I was, you know, researching other things I could do to still use and get away with it, you know, while drug testing and things like that. And
every addict's dream.
Yeah, we all do it. Until we're ready to quit, it's always about, how can I get around this obstacle? As opposed to change, it's what can I do to get away with it?
Right. I know that thought didn't even cross my mind to just stop doing. You try to get help. It was, how can I still maintain this lifestyle while being in trouble with, you know, with law? And then So I did some research, and I found out that there's, you know, a common, a drug that's found just about everywhere. That is an opioid that not many people know about, and that's Imodium AD. It's an antidiarrheal drug, and it's a synthetic, fully synthetic opioid, and it's kind of skates under the drug tests for the most part, but you know, there's other problems that come with that, like false positives and things like that.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's legal.
Yeah.
It's a legal high.
It's a legal high. And yeah. My experience was very much, again, similar. I did my research online. You go to all the message boards, the Reddits and the Arrowids, and you find out. In some places, the Imodium is considered like poor man's methadone. So I think a lot, maybe the majority of people who will use it, do so to quell withdrawal. And sure. In your situation, again, it was, you're looking for a way around drug tests. So you're trying to...
Right.
Yeah, right. So those would be the two primary reasons. What's scary about it is like a recommended dose of it is like 2 milligrams.
Right.
And a maximum daily allotment is somewhere between like 12 and 16. They said don't take more than 12 or 16.
Right.
So one of our questions as we're streaming live from one of our fans is, have you guys ever been in jail together?
As a matter of fact.
And I'm assuming that...
Yes, we have.
Yep, you have. Yeah. And I'm assuming that question stems from the fact that you're both participants in drug court.
Yeah. And you know, it was frustrating for me because I watched him sleep. Yeah. I could not sleep, and there were times it appeared that he was sleeping like a baby. He'll tell you he couldn't.
Yeah.
He did. I'm the one who couldn't.
Yeah.
I watched, looked on jealously, but yes, as a matter of fact, we have. Yes.
So on that note, we're going to give a shout out to some of our fans here. Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Peace out, Megan. Lee. What's going on, Lee, Katrina, and Georgia.
Thanks for watching, everyone.
Thanks for watching, everybody. That's just a few of them. But yeah, before we go too far, I just kind of want to read, you know, for those of the people that don't know what Imodium is.
Right.
Because, like, I have never had needed it, right? So I wouldn't really know.
Lucky you.
Lucky me, right? Right? But it's a diarrhea medication, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it treats diarrhea. And it can also decrease the amount of drainage in patients with ostomies. So that gives you an idea of what it is. And everybody knows you can get it over the counter. There's no prescription needed. There's no dealer needed.
None of that.
It's walk in any store and buy at will.
Correct.
It's fairly cheap.
Yeah.
So
what does a box cost?
Depending on where you go, I mean, like a, you know, box of like say 72 tablets, you can pick up for $4 or $5.
Wow! And
there was a time though, where you could get like 500 for like $5. Like not that long ago, the price is going up. Like anything else with supply and demand, and what you're starting to see now is they're putting anti-theft devices on it.
Yeah.
Because people are stealing it.
So they know.
Yes. They're figuring it out.
They know.
The society is catching up with us on this.
Well, not only society, but just pharmaceutical companies have figured it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Supply and demand.
They're probably dancing. They're probably happy. Like, hey, who knew?
Let's
look at this. Legal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about how like a maximum would be 12 to 16. You really have to take about 50 milligrams, in my experience, before you start feeling those analgesic effects, right?
Yeah.
Is that...
because it doesn't really cross the blood-brain barrier like a normal opioid does, so you kind of have to megadose to overpower it so some of it will cross.
Exactly. You take so much of it that you just flood your body with it that you can't help but to catch a buzz, basically.
Yeah, a small amount will cross.
The trick with it is first-time users, you can die of a heart attack.
Yes.
It interferes with, like, the electrical system in your heart, right?
Cause your heart to go into AFib. Like,
yeah.
It can be...
So it's not something to fool around with. It's actually very dangerous. So we're not out, like, endorsing, like, hey, this is a great alternative. It's not a harm reduction thing. And I'm expressed, like, pro-harm reduction sentiment in the past when it comes to things like Suboxone. But not this. Don't toy with this.
It's dangerous.
I think we need to make that very clear at this point that a lot of people don't know, as we were talking about, they don't know that Imodium has that impact. A few of our listeners have stressed that
Yeah, the health impact is it's devastating.
And yeah, and in no way are we endorsing that.
No,
we are.
Well, I mean, we're
not trying to encourage someone. No,
it's too late now.
Yeah,
but
at that point, we want parents and people that are caring for people that are going through recovery, just to be aware of it, because it is an upcoming.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And if you have any doubts about whether or not we're endorsing this, just keep listening to David's story, because it has quite a scary turn.
And it's not something we would endorse.
No.
No, absolutely not.
So you took Imodium for years, right?
For a
couple, anyway.
About 2 years.
Yeah. And what was like the most you ever took in a single day?
Towards the end there, it was sometimes up to 300.
That is insane.
Wow, that's a ton.
Like 150 twice a day. Like, that's crazy. A ton.
Your throat had to hurt.
How many? So that's like 150 pills, possibly.
Your tolerance goes up like any other opioid.
Like, so exactly. Yeah. And you will go through withdrawal.
And yeah,
like any other opiate.
It's just as addictive. Like,
that is insane.
Yeah.
If you do it for a while, you'll notice the same withdrawal symptoms as like other opioids.
Yeah.
You know? Same symptoms.
And it's kind of a long-acting drug, too. Like, right. Suboxone or methadone. So the withdrawal gets kind of drawn out.
Mm.
Yeah. And it hits you a little bit later, so.
Right. It takes weeks to detox from that stuff, and it's awful.
Now, there's, so you and I are both in drug corps, and I kind of, I don't want to, man, there's like a whole nother podcast to be had about that, and some of the other things we took, but we end up each doing a couple nights in jail or whatever, and they were strongly encouraging us to take Vivitrol.
They were, yes.
Which we both are, at this point in time, in February of 2020, big proponents of.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Made a big difference in your life.
It's changed my life.
Me too.
For the better. I got it on this last month, and I feel like a totally new person.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? It's an amazing drug.
I don't wake up with...
don't even think about it.
It doesn't even cross my mind anymore. I drink coffee and watch the news like normal people.
I try to tell people like what a huge burden it's taken off my shoulders. That they just, most people just can't relate what it's like to, like, it's freedom, right?
Yeah.
Unlike we felt in years.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy you're on board with it, because I do try to be an ambassador for it, for sure. Yeah. Joe does too. It's something we feel really strongly about.
Yeah, it's definitely, like we've talked about many times before, the statistics just from the jail alone are just, they're incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's that big thing of being able to wake up in the morning, not have those cravings.
Yeah.
And it's be huge. Able to go about life.
Concentrate on
therapy, all those things that you need.
Find a job, a home.
Right.
Repair relationships. Just wake up, drink coffee, and watch Sports Center.
Right.
You know?
That's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is a beautiful thing. However, whereas I got the Vivitrol shot and was off and running since last August, you kind of got off to a rough start with it.
I did. Because I was, in drug court, getting, like false positives in my drug tests and things like that, and spending weekends in jail, and I got sick of doing that because I was working full time. So I decided I was going to give Vivitrol a shot. You know, I was still using the Imodium daily, and I found I went to a clinic, I talked to a doctor, they asked me all the questions, and they gave me a drug test, I passed it. And they asked me if I was taking anything. I told them no, and I lied to them.
You didn't mention the...
No, absolutely not, I didn't.
That's not a drug.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No. In my head, I was telling myself, like, well, the worst of things that are going to happen is I get thrown into a withdrawal. I can handle that.
Major cognitive dissonance.
That's what happening I was like, moment. Yeah. Like, my brain's telling me, like, oh, you're just going to withdraw. Like, no problem. I'm like, okay. So I go to the doctor. They didn't have a shot ready, which I'm kind of glad for at that point.
Gave you two more days to dry out.
Right. And then I went to... they gave me an oral dose of naltrexone, which is the active ingredient that's in Vivitrol, until my shot was ready. So I left the clinic. We went back to work. I had like an hour left to work. I took it at the end of the day, and I figured I had until I got home, so I started feeling not good. But that wasn't the case. I after taking the naltrexone with all that Imodium in my system, I ended up like instantly having a reaction. My skin was on fire and I was just sweating profusely and I was a mess. I couldn't walk. My vision was going out and I was like, oh my God, I stumbled across my shop where I was working and, I tell my people, I'm like, you have to call an ambulance. I'm having a reaction to some medication. They call an EMS and they're asking me what I took. And I'm having a hard time talking to them at this point because I can't see. I'm in rough shape at that point. So I go to the send me to the hospital and I ended up falling out in the hallway on the stretcher. Kind of everything went black at that point. I wake up. What felt like just a few minutes passed. I wake up, my family's surrounding me, and I'm intubated. I have tubes on my throat. I'm covered in IVs. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, I ended up falling into a coma. I had acute heart failure. My heart stopped beating. They had to bring me back to life. And put me on life support for 2 weeks, and then I was in ICU for a whole month. In ICU, and I had like all kinds of other stuff going on too. I ended up with pneumonia and brain swelling, so I was a hot mess. The doctors told my parents, they said that we don't think he's going to make it through the first 4 days. They said we can't, he's not breathing on his own. We can't stabilize him. He's crashing pretty fast. And they basically warned my parents like the worst, like it
And probably, I remember that.
Probably gonna die.
I was in touch with your sister, and that's what she was saying to me. And I was like, "Oh my God!"
That's
right?
Insane.
We were just in jail together.
Yeah. We're talking Imodium, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking like.
Yeah, this is. I had nothing in my system but Imodium AD.
Yeah.
And they, they took my blood, and they told me at the end of my hospital stay when I was, pretty much recovering. They said, that I had ended up having 600 milligrams of loperamide, which is the active ingredient of Imodium, in my bloodstream. Like, so basically the naltrexone unbound it all and brought it to a toxic level in my blood. And I overdosed from Imodium. That was my diagnosis. Accidental overdose of Imodium.
That is crazy.
I know.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Now, and again, it's a good, I think, point to make is if the Vivitrol is amazing, but like anything, it's a tool to be responsible with, and you got to be honest with whoever is going to administer it to you.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to grind through those 7 days or so before
you have to be ready.
You have to be ready.
You do.
Yeah.
So don't think you can take a shortcut like addicts like to do. Oh, I haven't taken heroin in 36 hours. I'll be fine. You won't be fine.
No.
It will be horrible.
You could die.
We've never talked about precipitated withdrawal yet, I don't think, on this program, but someday we'll get there. The worst of the withdrawal.
We'll get there.
Right.
So, from Imodium, so you had 600...
600 milligrams, which is... Basically 300 tablets.
Yeah, I was going to say, break that down, that's 300 tablets, right?
Yeah.
So, in all reality, you could have just done heroin. It would have been, A, a lot cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
And B, one could argue...
safer?
Depending on the stuff, right? Yeah. And that's all to avoid...
failing a drug test.
Yeah.
It was all basically so I could still have that... an opioid in my system and skate by drug testing. That's insane to me now. I think about back on it now and I almost can't even, I don't even know what I was thinking because now I'm thinking a little more clearly these days.
It was, and it was eye-opener for me. I never took 300 milligrams, but I was starting to toy around with that too. And because I was trying to get off Suboxone and we both, here's another show where we'll talk about Kratom someday because David and I did both Kratom and Loperamide to get off these things. And it was a real eye-opener when I saw what happened to him because, there were a few days last summer where I was like, oh, it's okay. It's helping me kick the box and I'm doing the right thing. I'm in drug court. I'm moving forward.
Right.
And it was really easy to rationalize my use of it, right? Where as addicts, we're always trying to rationalize our poor decisions instead of just confronting them head on and being like, no, I shouldn't do this. I just need to grind through the withdrawal the right way instead of shortcutting it. But Yeah, we were all of us in drug court. We were all just stunned.
Yeah, it was, you know, after that hospital stay, I had to go to a cardiologist. I went from taking zero medications daily to literally I have to take 10 pills a day now.
Wow.
And they have to check my heart to make sure there's not any permanent damage. Like, I could have taken decades off my life. I don't even know yet. You know, I'm still going through that process of
making sure.
I don't know if there's any damage to my heart yet, but I'm on heart medicine right now. I have to take it twice a day to keep my blood pressure down and everything else. And that, before this happened, I wasn't on anything. I mean, no medications.
For what it's worth, you look a lot better now.
Oh, I feel.
You like comparatively, million, you look healthy as a horse.
A million times better.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So was this like again, I just want to hit on this real quick.
Sure.
You actually went out of your way to research this.
Yeah, like I spent like days searching and scavenging and trying to find information.
It's almost like the laziest guy at work that will do 10 times the work
to not work. Yeah, it's a great that's a great analogy. But I didn't tell him about it and he didn't tell me about it. We both confronted similar circumstances, and there's these different you've heard of Reddit, I'm sure. You may not have heard of Blue Light or Arrowhead. It doesn't take much to do a search and find these things.
No,
and you start reading these firsthand anecdotal accounts that people have, and you'll read like dozens of people saying, yes, this will help you avoid withdrawal.
Right.
So let's give it a shot. What do I have to lose, right?
Your life.
Yeah. We know that now, but the thinking, so like it's just another example of the ingenuity of a drug addict where they will find, if there's a way to get high or a way to not be dope sick, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yep. So I have a question for you. Obviously, you had the heart issues that you're going to possibly... Well, if you're lucky, you won't have to deal with any long-term damage, but it's a possibility.
It is a possibility, yeah.
So what does this do to your intestines? I mean, like...
In my case, like, over the course of a year and a half, I probably gained about 80 pounds, because it slows your digestive tract to a crawl, you know? Your body kind of adjusts itself to it, but it makes you retain tons of water. Like, you blow it up with water, because... That's one of the actions of the medicine. So that's what caused my at the point of my overdose, my heart was already so weakened by congestive, heart failure that you're being congested with basically swimming in water.
And all that pressure around your heart.
Yeah, that's what did it. But the stomach, it does make, it definitely works on your intestines pretty hard. Like now I have ulcerative colitis from it. Which is another thing I'm probably gonna have the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, it's a thinning of the intestinal walls, and that's from all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely does some serious damage.
Yeah.
But who would have thunk?
Oh yeah, and one thing, Dave, I find like, and I give credit to my older brother Andy for this attitude. He told me a few years back, if you go through things like you have, and you learn from them and you grow, then. That's great, and maybe in the end they were worth it. But if you take that extra step and you share them, then they really truly begin to have value, right? Because life isn't about us, it's about others. And the fact that you can sit here today and share your experiences with other people, it's just, who knows who you're going to help with it.
Right,
But yeah, somebody
people,
for sure.
Yeah, and there's going to be people that are looking at that short-term effect. And they're not going to understand or maybe not even know about those long-term effects.
Yeah,
You were lucky.
I was lucky. I mean, there's no way I should have. Doctors even said the hospital held a board meeting for my case because they said no one's ever came in that situation.
That's like I said, who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Right? Imodium.
And those message boards... that we talk about where we glean this information from, nobody goes on there and says, update, I'm fucking dead now because of my use. Like, you don't get those stories.
No.
So you have to share this.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing it here because it's not easy to find those things. You know, we recently had somebody on the show who talked about how she lost someone near and dear to her. And I think, we want to have these stories about recovery and lift people up with this podcast, but we have to be measured in the way we do it, too. We have to, show the other side of it.
Sure.
It's unfortunate that the other side is there, but it is. And these are the things, like your story is probably a shock to most of our listeners. I would have to say a majority of them are going to be like I was, like, Imodium. Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah. How long have you known about it, Joe?
Probably 4 to 5 months,
yeah,
maybe.
Really? It's about almost as long as us. It's yeah. getting to be a thing. You know, real quick, I want to say, too, your sister just said, I'm so proud of your recovery. At this
She's one of my biggest fans.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to have her in my life.
It's those little things that really, yeah. like, help us keep going forward, whether people realize it or not. Like, addiction is a disease of isolation, and it's lonely. And when we first get into recovery and do the right thing, it's not like all our cheerleaders come flocking back at once and tell us how great we're doing.
You gotta earn that back.
Yeah. It's slow to come sometimes, so those little messages there can mean a lot. Absolutely. They can be hard to come by at first, so.
Yeah, and that's very important, that once you've proven yourself, and we like to say all the time, your words really don't mean anything. Your actions dictate your intentions. And obviously, when you're getting comments like that during our live show, you've come quite a ways.
Yeah, my whole family's probably watching right now.
Yeah. That's amazing. Know, addicts are so good at sifting through just bullshit. Like, we're just so good at reading people and situations. And the difference between David is night and day. And it was so easy to see. Like, we all, when we saw him... when he got released a couple weeks back, just like Gandhi was among us. He just seemed so at peace compared to where he was. You know, he was a tormented addict back in August, and just it's inspiring to see.
Absolutely. And the whole insanity of this whole situation is, even after I nearly died in the hospital, 2 weeks after I left the hospital, like, I actually started taking it again. Like, it just almost put me in my grave, and I started taking it again. Like,
wow.
It's insane. You know, insane. And then you know, the courts caught on to it, and they said, enough's enough. We're going to lock you up for, you know.
That's the power of addiction. Yeah, something I'm almost killed you. You went right back to it.
Right back to it. It literally almost put me in my grave, and I went right back to it.
Yeah. It's the power of it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, just thinking back on it now, it's like when I was doing it, I wasn't. It seems nuts to me now, but at the time it was like, it wasn't, but you know what I mean? But that's an all addiction, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, like looking, it was emotional for a lot of us in drug court, like, and it was for me looking from the outside, looking in when you got put in jail.
Yeah.
Some of us were like, man, that's so harsh. Like, if anybody deserves a break, it's this guy. This guy almost died. Like, the emotional trauma he must have, the PTSD and all that from being in a coma, like, man, like, don't throw him in jail.
They're just throwing a cherry on top, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, we all knew that it was a possibility that it was what you needed.
Yes.
And so we're just waiting to see the outcome at that point. Like, you know, we don't know. It's like in God's hands now. So to see you come out of that... come out of that jail and be the person you are today. Yeah. It's like, okay, the judge got it right. Yes, they got it right.
Exactly. So just so our listeners know, you started taking it again after almost dying.
Yeah, after I got out of the hospital, I started. It took me about a week or two to be able to walk on my own again. I was literally like walking with a walker.
Yeah, we saw. Yeah.
So take us from there to how the chain of events happened to where you're sitting at this table right now trying to enlighten people.
Right. So, I started taking it again, and they also gave me some medications I wasn't supposed to take, you know, from the hospital. They gave me some Suboxone and Valium to take home. And at that point, when I was left the hospital, I didn't really need it. But, you know, as an addict, I'm like, I'm feeling this.
Right. So you're going to try.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get away with it.
Yeah. Try to tell the judge, it was from when I was in the hospital.
I got a 72 Cadillac, 20,000 miles on it. You want to buy it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're trying to sell her some kind of, No, I took it 5 weeks ago. It just showed up.
Yeah.
So my levels were up and down with Suboxone and Valium, and then I had like another 4 false positives because of the Imodium after that.
Was it for sure Imodium then and not Kratom that caused those?
I think it was the Imodium, honestly, because I did some more research after I got out of the hospital to figure things, you know, other things out, and come to find out, like, on a structural level.
Very similar.
It's similar to fentanyl. So the body can confuse it for fentanyl and throw off basically metabolites for fentanyl, so they would detect the metabolite, but not the drug. So it'd be a false positive.
Gotcha. And which should say something to people. It can be confused with fentanyl somehow, some way. It's not good.
No. Yeah, it's like the same scientists that made fentanyl made Imodium.
Wow.
The same scientists.
Imagine that.
And back in the 70s, it was a controlled substance when it came out in the 60s.
Imodium?
Yeah, it was a Schedule 5 controlled substance.
Wow, so you had to be prescribed.
Yeah, when it first came out, yep.
So that's insane.
Yeah, so I go in front of the judge, and, you know, I'm trying to feed him a bunch of BS to not go to jail. But so they ended up putting me in for, you know, 90 days. And actually, there was a little more of that story, too. Like, I was supposed to go to TRICAP, do like 14 days in TRICAP.
So I thought that's a rehab TRICAP, locally.
So it's like an MDOC program that you have to be sentenced to. So I did my 14 days. I went to TRICAP. I took a few drug tests, and one of those tests came up, positive for benzos, and they ended up kicking me out of there. And I go back to jail, because that was a deal, either that or 90 days. So I went back to Lapeer County Jail, did my 90 after that. So it was about 105 days. I got out January 22nd. I got out. While I was in jail, I was, I went to the Vivitrol orientation.
Did you see me there?
Yeah, I actually went to two of them in there. I saw you in there.
I'm pretty raw with the guys.
Yeah, but that's what they need, though.
Was he?
You know?
Is that how he is?
Yeah, he's pretty.
That's funny because I've only seen one side. I've seen the one side of Joe. Right?
Yeah, he hasn't seen me.
No, I haven't seen
in action yet.
He don't sugarcoat it. He tells you like it is.
Yeah, well, someone needs to, right?
So I got hooked up with the Vivitrol program in jail, and the week before I got released, they gave me my first injection, and everything was, I have to say, I was really nervous when I got that injection. I was terrified because the last time I took the medication, I almost died.
But right.
So I knew this time that wouldn't happen because I didn't have any opioids.
You didn't have 600 milligrams of Imodium floating around in your blood?
Yeah, there has to be a little bit of PTSD.
Yeah, it's got
a little bit
scared of fear still. Though, yeah.
So I got the shot in jail, and everything went smoothly. And when I got released, I couldn't believe the difference. I wake up, before all this, I wake up every morning and feel like I had to have something in me to get through my day. It wasn't like, it wasn't a pact of like, I can do this without using. It's like, I have to find something to use in order to take care of what I have to take care of. And now I wake up and, like I said, I make coffee and I, watch the news or something. And it's little things like that I'm grateful for. Because before, the first thing in my mind was, got to find some kind of fix.
So you could honestly say, you could honestly make a point that being incarcerated saved your life.
Yes. Like, my first month in, I was bitter. I was angry. I was like, that judge doesn't know what she's talking about, this and that. You know what I mean?
Of course. You took away your high.
You're right. And then I went through a little withdrawal process in jail, and then, after about a month in there, I really started thinking about things, and I had a few months to think. And in jail, you have a lot of time to think about things. And at this point, I'm grateful that I was sentenced to all that, and I'm grateful it happened because I don't think I'd be alive right now if that hadn't happened. That's just to be honest. I don't think.
So you could say being incarcerated, you were able to somewhat think a little clearer.
Yes.
Prioritize maybe. And then you were offered the opportunity of Vivitrol, which you received prior to your release.
Yes, sir.
And that all enabled you to kind of get where you're at.
Yeah. And now I have a mindset where I put my recovery first. I go to counseling. I go to, meetings. I go to drug court. I go there every week, and I wake up with my game face on every day. That's a great feeling to have. I mean, at this point, the Vivitrol, I feel like, saved my life at this point.
That feeling, I think, is freedom and hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're one of our 95% success.
I'm glad, too. I'm glad, too.
Yeah, and, no matter, how much damage you may have done to your body, you're alive, right?
Absolutely.
You're still in the game.
Absolutely.
And hopefully your health wasn't too compromised.
Right.
Most of us who go through what you and I have gone through, we got to know that to an extent. We're probably on borrowed time at some point, right? But hey, we're alive. We're here, And again, having that freedom and that hope means everything.
It does. I mean, it's... I am definitely feel like I'm a different person than I was before I went to jail. That's what changed things for me, is sitting there. I needed time to sit there and think, and it gave me that. That's for sure.
So in my profession, we like to hear that, because we were just talking earlier, Tim and I were, about, and I think Mom is listening. Let me scroll through here. Yes, she is. And without making it too obvious, her daughter's in jail right now, went to the Vivitrol program.
Sure.
She's been in 22 days, I think, right now. Gets sentenced within a week. And, of course, she came in high. So of those 22 days, take about 7 away for detox.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just don't feel that she's had the time in to actually be able to process everything. She's saying the right things. She's doing the right things in jail. She's going, you know, to all the classes. And I like to stress this. When you get to jail, initially, you are cornered.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You have no choice but to either go participate and try to convince yourself, or you sleep all day.
Right.
Those are your choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she is taking full advantage of the classes, religious services, all those things that are great positives while you're incarcerated.
Good.
I just feel she needs more time. Friday during the Vivitrol, I told her, I believe you should go to the judge next week and beg for 30 more days.
Yeah, it takes time for your head to come out of that fog, even after you stop using, because your mind's, even after your blood's clean, your body's clean of a substance, your mind still wants it. Like, it's still craving it.
Right.
And your thoughts aren't...
That's when, you know, and I try to explain this, especially coming off of like Suboxone, which is such a long-acting drug, and the withdrawal is so much longer than heroin. People would say after 4 or 5 days, like, oh, you got it beat. Like, why did you go back? It's like, cause I didn't have it beat. My body was still detoxing it. Yeah. From it, but like my mind was totally 100%. Like, yeah. Still, I want it. Like... It's not just the physical side of it. There's right. The psychological side of it, which absolutely. is a much higher hurdle, in fact.
All we can hope is she has to know herself, right? She's got to know where she's at in that spot. She is getting the Vivitrol.
Good.
And that's going to obviously benefit her.
Absolutely will. Yep.
And let's just hope we see positive results.
Yeah, right? Hopefully sure we'll see her at a meeting. You
yeah,
know?
Hopefully see her at a meeting.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in no way or form do I want to, like, discourage her. I'm just giving her the advice based off of what I've seen. And I do believe she's mentally a little bit more ready than a lot of people would be at that point in time. But I just think with everything that went on in her life prior to being incarcerated, she should probably take that extra time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't hurt.
It was a game changer for me. Time is what I needed. I needed to sit and, you know, in jail, all your decisions are kind of made for you. You don't have to do anything in the outside world, but just be there.
Yeah, her mom just actually punched in and said she feels the same way I do about her daughter. So
yeah,
we'll just keep close tabs on her. I know Mom is behind her 100,000%.
That's good.
We all are.
Yeah. So, you know, we really appreciate you coming out and telling your story.
Very much. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, but we're going to give you a chance to give some shout out to those people that helped you along the way and support you to this day.
Okay. My family has been very supportive. My sister, which I think she's listening right now, and my mom, my dad. Even my brother Eric, and I have a couple like childhood friends that have been really have never given up on me. I've given them every reason to give up on me, you know, and they never did, and I'm grateful for that, definitely.
And I'm sure they're so happy to see you making progress. And we always say it's one thing when an addict in recovery or an addict talks about wanting to make progress and actually making progress.
Right.
And I think with you, we see you have made progress, and you sound like you have everything, you know, where you need it right now.
I do. I have a big support system going on, not just with my family, but like through counseling. Like I stress out on people, like counseling can be a big game changer. It's helped me a ton. You know,
yep.
You can't. Sometimes pride gets in our way. We think we can handle it. We put ourselves here so we can fix it. And you can't fix it alone. You can't.
What's I next? Tried. What's next for you? You've come a long way. What's next?
I'm gonna get all my independence back and lead a normal, healthy life and try to help another addict on the way. You know, that's
awesome.
That's awesome for sure.
You know, and like I said, this topic we're talking about, it's not something that a lot of people are aware of. It's dangerous. It's so, like, it almost cost me my life. I almost died.
Yeah, when Tim brought that up as you being a guest, it was something that I think we both felt strongly about getting out there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
I think I've said it like 10 times throughout the whole show. Imodium, right? Imodium.
Yeah. Yeah, something that it's over the counter and it can be deadly. Absolutely.
So stay away from Imodium unless your doctor advises.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And take it as advised.
Take it as directed.
Yeah. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you guys.
And
appreciate having me.
Thanks for everybody tuning in to our live show tonight. And like I said, if you didn't catch it live, you'll catch it on our podcast. We'll get that up for you here soon. And with that, we'll part ways. I'm Joe.
Okay. I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Law and Disorder Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play to get new episodes. Please follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or visit our website at ladpodcast.com. Recovery is possible.